Nice.
That gets my goat.
Listen, I get your goat.
Anyhow, I hope I never reach that stage, and I don't know why we're recording, but
I just
we missed the beginning of that story, so it's not something we can use. But the Whiz Men doesn't fit you like the Whiz Kid did. That kind of powerful words. At least Ben Folds is able to write moving songs like he did when he was young. Okay, so this is That Gets My Goat. I'm Rish Outfield.
And I'm Big Anklevich.
And usually we get together, or the whole idea of this podcast was for us to complain. We'd have a little thing and we'd complain about it until we were complained out. Then we'd put it away and we'd go on to the next one. And at some point, it just became a, well, let's talk about something that we didn't talk about on the show kind of thing. And I think that's fine. I don't know. But there is something I wanted to complain about today. Let's just bring it back to the way it was.
Okay.
And the complaint is about complaining about The Dark Knight Rises.
You're complaining about The Dark Knight Rises?
Yes. Any complaints?
I've got to complain about this line of complaints.
Let's go back to 2007. It was the summer of 2007, and a teaser trailer came out for The Dark Knight, the sequel to Batman Begins. And it was a teaser trailer where all it showed was the new bat symbol and darkness, and you heard lines of dialogue from the movie, and people went nuts. They loved it like you love your twin sister. It was one of those Annie Wilkes moments that I always talk about on the show, where I was looking around and it's like, have you all gone insane? There's not anything on the screen. There's no context for any of these lines. Why are you guys acting like this is the greatest thing ever? And they'd be like, because this movie, The Dark Knight, is going to be the best Batman movie, nay, the best movie ever made. Wait and see. And they showed pictures of what Heath Ledger, of all people, is going to play the iconic Batman villain, the Joker. And they'd be like, who cares what he's done before? This is going to be awesome. This is the Joker that people are going to think about 20 years from now. I know he's the guy from Knight's Tale and 10 Things I Hate About You, but he's going to blow away Jack Nicholson.
He wish he could quit you, but...
Right. And then we saw pictures of what the Joker was going to look like, and it didn't look like the Joker, and he had long hair and this effed up face, and I mean, it didn't look like he had been dumped in some kind of toxic chemical and it had turned him this way. He looked like an escaped mental patient that had damaged himself and then put on some kind of half-assed fright mask. And people were like, hey, in Nolan we trust, man. This is going to be so great. You have no idea what you're talking about. Stop naysaying. And I was really scared that this movie was gonna not be good. Because unlike you, I was not floored by Batman Begins. I didn't think it was the be-all, end-all of superhero films or Batman films or Christopher Nolan films. It just bugged the crap out of me that they took all of the wonder and all of the magic out of the Batman world. And it's like, let's set it in the shitty, horrible world, the shitty, horrible world that you and I live in. Let's imagine that Batman lives now, here, and there's no immortality, and there's no aliens, and there's no killer crocs, and there's no penguins. Just grime and reality. And Ra's al Ghul dies when you shoot him. And I was like, oh, thanks a lot, man. You took a page from Bryan Singer, but you didn't take any of the magic that Bryan Singer... Well, I mean, not, there's no magic, but you know what I mean? It's just like you took the one thing that I didn't like that Bryan Singer did, and you said, let's make a movie about that. I was talking about the X-Men movies. And I know I'm talking for a long time, but Batman Begins 2 came out summer of 2008. And I didn't want to like it because people were going to say, this is it. This is best picture of the year before it had even come out in Nolan We Trust. And it came out and I was wrong. And all of those people that said X, Y, and Z were right. Heath Ledger's Joker is awesome. And the movie was just really, really great and bold and brave. And now everybody tries to make their superhero movies like Dark Knight. Daredevil needs to be more like Dark Knight. Let's reboot it. Spider-Man needs to be more like Dark Knight. Let's reboot it. Because Nolan pulled off this amazing, almost perfect film. And now he's made a sequel to that, The Dark Knight Rises. And we're starting to see little trickles, and there was a teaser trailer that actually showed footage from Dark Knight Rises. It wasn't just lines of dialogue over a symbol. And the fans have begun to bitch and complain and nitpick. And this is stupid. And this guy isn't big enough to be Bane. And why does Bane have some kind of breathing apparatus? And Anne Hathaway as Catwoman? What is he thinking? And oh my gosh, have you seen the costume that she wears? Wah. And to my horror, they have become, I guess, what I was with those first two Dark Knight films.
Which is yourself?
No, we have somehow ended up on opposite sides of the mirror. I am now saying, well, wait. Christopher Nolan brought us The Dark Knight and Memento and Inception and Insomnia and The Prestige. In Christopher Nolan, we trust. He pulled it off twice. I'm sure he can do it again. And there was like, oh, but look at her. She doesn't even have ears. She doesn't even have a mask on. She looks half-assed. She doesn't even look like she has giant jugs. I'm like, A, this is Anne Hathaway. Two, she has a mask on. Three, it has ears. I don't understand. How am I seeing something different than you? And we live in a world where there was a Catwoman movie with Halle Berry in it and the worst costume ever for any superhero ever. I'm using the capital E word. And you're complaining about this gorgeous chick in a skin-tight leather outfit and a mask and ears and high heels. Well, do they want a tail? What?
No, they just want some tail.
Well, I would too. And, you know, just like the guy that they got to play Bane is not buff enough, or he doesn't have a Lucha Libre mask on. But none of you had a problem with Heath Ledger's Joker, and it was so much more of a departure than Bane is or Catwoman is or whatever it might be. So I guess what I wanted to talk about is what has changed, why now are people saying, oh, this is going to suck. This is not good. Oh, this is terrible. This is the worst thing ever. Why are they focusing on these things when there's a capeless Superman out there, when there's a Spider-Man reboot already with a costume that's worse than the Sam Raimi costume rather than better? Help me out here.
Well, this was what my thinking was when you started asking this question earlier today when we were at Wendy's. See, when I first got into comic books to begin with was all the way back in, gosh, it must have been around, when did the first X-Men movie come out? It was like 90.
It was 2000.
Was it 2000? I didn't actually see it then. I didn't see the movie until almost the time that the second X-Men movie came out. I rented the first one, watched it, and then I was like, whoa, that was really good. I'm excited about this X-Men 2 that's about to come out. And so I went and saw that really soon after it hitting theaters. Then I was really excited and I thought, gosh, I love this stuff. And I thought, you know, I absolutely loved these X-Men movies. And I was thinking about getting some action figures of the X-Men movies. And I totally loved Nightcrawler from that film. And I was thinking, gosh, I want to get the, they had a big like 12-inch figure of Alan Cumming as Nightcrawler. And I just thought, man, that is the figure that I want to own and all this stuff. And at the same time, I thought, you know, I ought to know more. It would be cool to read some of these comic books of the X-Men. So I started going to the library and checking out graphic novels of X-Men. And I started to get into comic books and I started to read more and more comic books and my knowledge base expanded. And it wasn't long after that when I thought, that's not Nightcrawler, that guy there. That's a version of Nightcrawler, which was cool, but it would be cooler to have the comic book action figure of Nightcrawler, the one that looks like the guy in the comic book instead of this one that looks like the movie and looks like Alan Cumming. And slowly my ideas changed to where I didn't think the movie figures were the cool things. I thought the ones that were the comic book figures are that way. And maybe that's what you've got here is a similar thing where people were just regular old movie fans at the time and then they watched Batman Begins and they were like, oh cool, I can't wait for the next one. And they watched the next one like, holy crap, this is so great, I want to know more about Batman. And all of a sudden they're all reading Batman comics and they've become comic book centered, you know. And now they say, that guy's not buff enough to be Bane, that's not right, that's not the way Catwoman's supposed to look, she's supposed to have like a hood on or, you know, whatever. Maybe that's what it would have got to be ugly. Maybe they've gotten.
I recognize that there are some people that don't think Anne Hathaway is all that attractive.
Yeah, everybody has their own tastes and whatever. That's going to happen. But did they become too savvy? I'm sure you've noticed it even in yourself. The people that know the material the most, the people that care about it the most, are the ones that are going to be the most upset when it deviates from what they know. When they're getting a movie made of Watchmen.
Watchmen is the perfect example. I had an argument with a guy the other day because I love Watchmen. And I said, nobody will ever make a comic book movie as faithful to the source material as Watchmen. And he's like, that was all over the place, man. They changed the ending and there was a part in the movie of three lines of dialogue that weren't in the book, you know. And I was just like, oh, really? I thought it was spot on, but, you know, each their own.
But yeah, I mean, there's going to be people that love that one thing the most, and now I'm sure there's 10 times the amount of people that are into Batman to that level than there was 5 years ago when, you know, the first film was coming out. I'm much more into Batman than I was in those days just because of the movies coming out. I remember going to see Batman Begins, and my brother-in-law, who's a super comic book nerd, and he's like, oh, come on, it's going to be so cool. And he's getting all his friends to come see the Batman movie and everything. And I'm just like, yeah, all right, I guess I'll go. I'll probably see it sooner or later, I guess, so I might as well. And so we're there opening night watching it, and I was impressed. I was like, wow, this is good. This is better than I expected. I haven't never been into Batman because I didn't ever like any of the older films that came out except for Batman Returns, which was pretty hot with Michelle Pfeiffer. Somebody once said that I was really creepy because I liked Michelle Pfeiffer a lot as Catwoman.
Wait, how is that creepy?
I don't know. Somebody said that my obsession for Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman was over the top creepy. But anyways.
Welcome to my world. I'm being accused of being creepy about everything.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's got to do with that. These people have now gotten to the level of being fans instead of just being, you know, regular Joes that, hey, that's a good movie, I'll go watch it. And they don't care if Bane is realistic or unrealistic or whatever. They don't care if he's so super pumped with muscles that he's a comic book type character in real life. And so they can enjoy it, or now they can't enjoy it because it's got to be just like faithful. It's got to be the way they want it to be, just like the real show, so, or the real book. Maybe that's what it's got to do with. I don't know. That's just a theory that I'm putting out there. Maybe it's just the longer internet exists, the more a-holy people become. Because it seems like the internet is a breeding ground for a-holes.
Well, yeah, it'd be the freedom to say whatever you want with absolutely no consequence. People take that to the nth degree. And they'll, you know, call that somebody needs to be killed. Steven Spielberg needs to be killed for Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. George Lucas needs to be killed for, well, there's a laundry list. But you know what I mean?
People will actually say stuff like that when, at least they're not saying that about, like, the president, because they could easily be arrested and considered they're threatening someone's life now. But, yeah.
But I think there's that kind of awful name-calling with politics all the time. I mean, it's so ugly. And you can say you are like this and you're this and, you know, every word under the sun on the internet because it's anonymous. And you'll never, ever have to stand face-to-face with the person and back up what you said or realize that they're a person.
Right.
You know, that's something that is really difficult. I you know, there have been people that I've hated, just absolutely loathed and stuff, you know, because of, you know, like the deal breaker kind of people or whatever that we talk right. about, like actors and stuff. And then I've been on a set with them or at a convention with them or whatever, you know, and they're a person. And as soon as I realize they're a person, I have to sort of change my attitude, because instead of being a personality on television or whatever, right. I realize that that's somebody that lives and breathes and has feelings. The very first time that happened really bothered me. And I remember my friend criticizing a comic book artist and saying that his art made him want to throw up. And he wrote that in a message board. And that artist got on there and said, I'm sorry that my art made you want to throw up. What was it? Which issue was it that bothered you so much? And my friend just like wilted. And he's like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have said that. You know, it made him, it changed his whole worldview. The world is so big, but the internet makes it so small too.
Right.
It would be interesting to hear. I hope people comment about this, you know, why and what. And you know, Batman is bigger than Christopher Nolan or Christian Bale or anyone. He'll be
Morgan
around
Freeman?
Forever. He's about the same size as
okay,
Morgan Freeman.
Okay, that's all right then. Michael Caine and Morgan Freeman put together.
But, you know, I thought those Michael Keaton movies were really good. And Michael Keaton was my Batman. But that's in the past, and not a lot of people feel that way anymore, just like not a lot of people see Adam West as Batman. But when you and I were little kids, that's who Batman was.
Right.
And there's a whole generation where the Christian Bale is Batman. The Christopher Nolan movies are the Batman from their world. But Chris Nolan has said, this is it. One more and I'm out. And if that's true, then somebody else is going to make another Batman movie in 2015 or something like
Joel
that.
Schumacher.
You know, Joel Schumacher should be killed for what he did to Batman.
Oh, no.
And it's funny, I feel that way. I won't go see a movie by Joel Schumacher.
But you don't feel like he should be killed.
Yeah,
come on.
I mean, not like quickly with like a pillow or something.
Humanely.
Like yeah. Well, like the needles and you know, that puts you to sleep and you don't wake up. Not horribly or, you know, anything like that. I don't know. I'm sure he's a person too.
He is a person, it turns out.
But somebody's going to take the baton after Chris Nolan has put it down, and it's going to be incredibly difficult for them to start again or have a different take and all that. But their take is just as valid as whatever Chris Nolan is doing right now with Dark Knight Rises, because Batman has evolved and changed, and depending on the society's mores. And this month, I believe DC... not DC, Warner Brothers is putting out an animated version of Batman Year One. And that's based on Frank Miller's reimagining of Batman in 1986. And that is the Batman for me. That is my Batman. It's like, my gosh, this is the best Batman ever got. And it is. It's so cool because they've stayed more faithful than Watchmen in this film. But, you know, that may not be your Batman, and they may not be his Batman, and may not be somebody else's Batman. There's no such thing as a definitive Batman. And if somebody takes a completely different take on it and wants there to be camp again and wants there to be levity and wants there to be a boy wonder and stuff like that and puns.
And wants there to be...
And bat shark repellent, a lot of people are going to rail against that. But honestly, that is part of who Batman has been. And just because we're in this era, I mean, the Frank Miller ripples still continue. It doesn't mean that somebody somewhere isn't going to say, and Dane Cook as Batmite. And everybody goes, yay, because some people somewhere seem to think Dane Cook is funny.
And it's, Batmite is cool.
And you know what? Batmite is kind of cool. Okay, maybe not. I'm sorry. Hey, don't hit me. Don't hit me. I don't know. There's room, and it will be fun to see people do different things. One thing that they said on the Spider-Man reboot is they're going to try and go a lot more with the wisecracking Spider-Man in this one, even though it looks darker than all the other three. But, you know, that's totally an interesting, valid take. That is who Spider-Man is.
Yeah.
As much as the brooding, I will never be loved, I will never get over my mistakes, Spider-Man, which is also who he is. Everybody is many things.
Mm-hmm.
And Batman can be a driven, revenge-seeking psychopath, and he can also be a super moral, good protector of the innocent.
Like,
who wears a purple suit with nipples.
Yeah, that totally works for me. Pointy, really pointy ones, too. Like, I want him to take it a step. Madonna, pointy cone nipples. I want that.
I do, too. Wait, no, I don't want that at all. We've gotten out of hand. Take this back. That's all the time we have for today. Gosh, I've just steamrolled over you. Is there anything you want to say? I will be silent.
No.
Okay. Well, we will meet with you again, same bat time. same bat channel. I'm Ben Rischaufield.
That's right. I've been Big Ankovich. Talk to you later, folks.
That Gets My Goat is produced under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. Sad but true.